Well, you know, I'm kind of amused at times when people paint a rather sanitized picture of Jesus. Take, for example, the Christmas carol that we often sing at this time of the year. In the second verse of Away in the Manger, the lyrics say this: "The cattle are lowing, the baby's awake, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes." And I'm thinking about this, and every time I hear that, I go, no way. I mean, where in the scriptures do we read that Jesus didn't cry? I'm sure the writer who wrote this, he was anonymous, by the way, came up with this, I don't know how, but it's not accurate. I mean, no crying? Really? You see, Jesus, while he was God incarnate, while Jesus was God in the flesh, he, at the very same time, was 100% human. And my guess is that Jesus would have been very much like any other infant, that he would have cried, probably spit up a few times, burbled and burped, and my guessing is that his diaper needed changing on a regular basis. But it seems like we have this need to diminish the humanity of Jesus and to kind of disinfect the story. And quite often I hear people who seem to have a rather limited understanding of Jesus, and they want to make him out to be always meek and mild and kind of milquetoast. And I scratch my head in wonderment, and wondering how many pages must be missing in their Bibles. Well, Jesus taught many great truths, like turning the other cheek and forgiving our enemies. Jesus was also a great teacher who challenged and confronted the status quo. Take, for example, our scripture reading for today, this encounter between Jesus and the religious establishment of his day. It actually starts out in Matthew 23:1, where Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, and the religious leaders of that day were overhearing this. And the teachers of law and the Pharisees are the authorized interpreters of Moses' law. So you need to obey and follow everything they tell you to do. But then he says this: "Do not, however, imitate their actions, because they don't practice what they preach." They tie onto other people's back loads that are too heavy and hard to carry. They're not willing to even lift a finger to help them. They do everything they can so people will see them. They have straps with scriptures on them, which they attach their foreheads and their arms so that everybody will notice how holy they are. Notice how long their tassels, Jesus said, on their cloaks, and they love the best places and the feasts and the seats reserved in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. Can you imagine this? I'm sure the Pharisees who heard this weren't really thrilled. They must have been seething at these words that Jesus said. And no wonder Jesus' final destination on earth was the cross at Calvary. So after saying these things, Jesus went on to expound. He said, "You know what? The greatest one among you must be a servant. Greatest one among you must be a servant. Whoever makes himself great will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be made great." What I want you to see here is Jesus was the ultimate contrarian. He came to turn conventional wisdom upside down and to teach the great truths of the kingdom, which are almost always opposite of our human nature. And most of this 23rd chapter, Jesus is directly confronting the religious authorities in words that left little doubt about what he thought. And here are just a few excerpts from this chapter. He says, "How terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. you lock the door to the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. But you yourselves don't go in, nor do you allow those who are trying to enter either. How terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You sail the seas and cross whole countries to win one convert, and when you succeed, you make them twice as deserving of hell as you are yourselves. Ouch! How terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look fine on the outside, but are full of bones and decaying corpses on the inside. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to be good to everybody, but inside, you're full of hypocrisy and sins. You snakes, you children of snakes, how do you expect to escape from being condemned to hell? Jesus said this. You get the picture? We think of Jesus as coming as this lowly, meek, and mild infant. And yes, he did. He was a vulnerable child, baby, a vulnerable infant. He was at the mercy of Mary and Joseph, who God handpicked to raise him up and to give him a strong foundation. But he was given birth with a mission, with a specific purpose. We read where the scriptures say, the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. The Word became flesh, and it pitched a tent among us. Why? To give us the gift of a new way of living, to reconnect us with God and God's ways, and to help us to live in congruence with the way God created us. The old ways, the ways of the Pharisees, the ways of the religious establishment, the old ways were about rigid legalism and fear. The old way was all about doing and earning your way into the kingdom, and Jesus just blew that up. Jesus was teaching that connecting with God is not about some kind of merit system, but about being in relationship, incarnational relationship with God. It was about a loving God and having God's love transform you bit by bit by bit by bit over time. Jesus said, in effect, hey, it's not about doing. It's about done. That was the mission of Jesus, to extend God's love and grace to all peoples everywhere. The miracle of the incarnation is the miracle of God's love breaking through all that stuff and understanding that God's love isn't earned. It's a gift, freely given. In our scripture reading for today, Jesus said, in effect, that the Pharisees were really good at paying attention to the most minute letter of the law. They even tithed their spices. So think of it. Go through your spice rack, and you just want to make sure you're obeying all the laws, so you take a tenth of all your spices in your spice rack. That's how out of whack they got. It was about legalism. And Jesus said, hey, you neglect to obey the really important teachings of the law, such as justice and mercy and honesty, when you focus on all this minor stuff. And then Jesus said this, which is really the heart of the passage and kind of the heart of what I wanted to say to you today. It's, you clean the outside of your cup and plate while the inside is full of what you have gotten by violence and selfishness. That's what he was saying to the Pharisees. But here's what we really need to hear today. Clean what is on the inside of the cup first, and then the outside will be clean too. The old way is legalism. The new way of living is living from the inside out. God created both. God is concerned about both. But it starts with what's inside. It starts with the heart, and what happens there flows out in our actions. Remember when the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus, and they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus takes him back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and says, here's it. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. And the second is much like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophet depend on these two things. You see, the Pharisees lived lives of legalism and hypocrisy as they tried to walk with God. And at the same time, they were neglecting the people and all the stuff that was going on around them. They were so preoccupied with their own self-righteousness that they ignored the basic commands of God. Though they believed deeply in what they tried to teach, their zeal and sincerity wasn't enough. Jesus wanted them to be clean from the inside out, to be filled with justice that flowed out of their love of God and their love for neighbors. One of the stories Jesus told in Luke 18 kind of reminds us of this. It's a well-known story. But Jesus told this parable for people who were sure of their own goodness and despised everybody else. He says, once there were two men who went up the temple and prayed. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector, which you all know tax collectors were like the scourge of society back then. And the Pharisee stood apart by himself, and he prayed, I thank you, God, that I'm not greedy or dishonest or an adulterer like everybody else. I thank you that I'm not like that tax collector over there. I fast 2 days a week. I give you 1/10 of all my income. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance, wouldn't even raise his face to heaven. And he beat his breast and he says, God, have pity on me. I'm just a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, the tax collector, not the Pharisee, was right with God when he went home. For those who make themselves great will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be made great. Now I know some, maybe many people are shocked by Jesus' tone and the manner that his conversation with the Pharisees. I mean, that doesn't connect with a lot of people. They don't even see that. He issued his rebuke in public. And I'm sure he did that after spending considerable time with this group. He had no hidden agenda. He didn't engage in any behind-the-scenes criticism of the Pharisees. Jesus was direct and honest about where he stood, and he gave the Pharisees and that religious group many opportunities to change. You see, in the world Jesus was born into, in that time, in that context that Jesus lived and taught, the gift that Jesus gave was a new way of life. Not based upon obedience to the letter of the law, but based on a relationship of love. A love for God and a love that flows from the inside out. That was the gift of a new way of living. Now I want to close with this. You know, I run into people all the time I really hesitate to tell them I'm a pastor because it changes the conversation. Sometimes it cleans up their language a little bit. But I run into people all the time who really don't want a lot to do with Christianity. And I talk to them a little bit about this, and it has nothing to do with the person of Jesus. It has more to do with this idea that religion is about judgment and grace. Not grace. It's about judgment. They somehow think that following the ways of Christ is about doing all the right things. And it's like, good luck with that. It's not about doing all the right things rather than accepting his infinite grace. I tell people all the time, it's not about doing it all, everything right, because, man, I miss by a mile. But it's allowing the love of Christ into your heart. Behavior takes care of itself when you do that. God is always prompting us to change. I have people quite often tell me, you know I pastor here at the WIT, and they said, Mark, if we walked through the doors of the church you serve, the whole building would cave in. And they say that because they think they have done so many bad things, and they feel bad about themselves. No. So I tell them, I said, listen, I know that not only will the building not collapse, because it's a pretty good building, but it was built for people exactly like you and like me. People who are far from perfect, but loved by God, not for what they've done or not done, but for exactly who they are. I know a lot of people out there who are afraid of being involved in the church because they've experienced the kind of judgment that Jesus saw in the Pharisees. Churches that major in legalism and locking people out rather than inviting people in. And I have to say to you that I'm so thankful to serve a church that isn't like that. In this role, you have the opportunity to see a lot of stuff. And you have the opportunity to see how so many people in this congregation are making a difference in other people's lives. Not perfect, but it's such an amazing thing to see the love of Christ flow out and actually be the hands and feet of Christ, not a spirit of legalism. So as we observe this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we celebrate the one who came as an infant, meek and mild and tender, but also who grew to become God's voice of justice and grace and mercy. So we give thanks for this gift of good news, of God's mercy, grace, and love. And we give thanks for the best gift of all, which is a gift of a new way of living, the gift of love over law, of grace always over judgment. Let's pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to teach us your ways and to reunite us through his grace. Help us to learn from you and accept your gift of a new way of living. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.